a lot of people don't think so. They think they can make it all by themselves. Be their own man, their own woman. They don't need God. Oh, yes, you do. So do I. And you're listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. We'll listen to some good messages and song, and I'll share a few comments along the way. Let's just enjoy this time of 30 minutes of devotions, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and lives with His peace and joy and righteousness and holiness and goodness, everything that's positive and good. Open your hearts to what God has for you. People do need the Lord, and He loves you very much. That's a good message, isn't it? Oh, how He loves you and me. And it's a true message.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy of it goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Matthew chapter 13. Well, I certainly believe that that treasure hid in the field is none other than Jesus Himself, and that pearl of great price is none other than Jesus Himself, who, when we have found Him, we are willing to sell everything we've got, give up everything else. We esteem Him so highly, He is so dear and so precious, that we're willing to give up all else beside so that we may have Him. And of course, you know, that's what Jesus told us to do. He said some pretty stern things, like, except a man hate his mother and his father and his sister and his brother and forsakes everything that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what do you suppose Jesus meant, the one who taught us to love not only our loved ones, but to love our enemies? You know, He didn't mean for us to hate people. Of course not. I think that he meant that in comparison, our love for Jesus, in comparison to our love for our families and loved ones, would so far exceed anything, any loves that we would have here on earth. It would be like hatred because of our love for God. I think he is speaking of in comparison. But be that as it may, the Lord certainly requires that we give up everything and everybody in order to have him. And that's not hard. Now, someone just reading the Bible on the surface, it may sound cruel and rigid and difficult. But those who know the Lord, you know what he meant. You know that when you come to know Christ as your personal Savior, no one else means as much to you as Jesus. Now, that's not true to everybody. Jesus, to many people, is nothing more than a stumbling stone and an offense. But to those who love him, he is the cornerstone. Peter wrote about that in his epistle. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious, but unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word. Well, I don't want Jesus to be a stumbling stone to me or a rock of offense. I want him to be that pearl of great price, willing to give up anything and everything for him. Now, here's the catch. When you are willing to give up everything for Jesus, he gives to you in return everything. He promised to his disciples who had forsaken all to serve him and to follow him, to give them 100-fold in this life and everlasting life in the world to come. Don't think for one single moment that you're going to be a loser when you say, God, here it is, on the altar of consecration, I lay everything. You are the only one I love and want. Don't think for a moment you're going to be a loser. You're going to be a winner. God will pour into your life the abundance of his mercies and his goodness. How do you esteem Jesus? What does he mean to you? Is he that treasure buried in the field? Is he indeed that pearl of great price that you would be willing to give up all else besides so that you can have him? How do you value Jesus? What esteem do you give to him? What would it take to leave him? What would it take to give him up? You know, Jesus said, Blessed is he who is not offended in me. What would it take to offend you in Christ? And to say, I've had it. That's it. That's all. I'm leaving him. I'm giving up Jesus. What would it take? A little puff of wind? A little obstacle along life's road, things getting just a little hard. Maybe some unanswered prayer. God doesn't come to your rescue like you thought he should. He doesn't answer your prayer in the way you thought he should. And so you've said, well, I've had it with Jesus. I'm through with God. I'm going to give him up. What would it take to do that? The devil to jump out and say, boo. And you say, I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. Someone to hurt your feelings. Something to happen in life that is totally unfair. And 2 + 2 don't equal 4. What would it take for you to give up Jesus? What is your esteem that you have of him? How do you value him? Is he so little in your esteem that just a little puff of wind would cause you to turn back to the beggarly elements of this world and to say, I'm through with Christ? Let me read to you what the Apostle Paul said. These words are very familiar to you, I'm sure. In Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is that same man of God who declared, I count not my life dear unto myself. The same man who declared, everything that was gain to me I count but loss, that I might win Christ. He says, nothing shall separate us from his love. That pearl of great price, there will be no puff of wind, there will be no devil jumping out saying boo to scare me off and make me go back to the darkness of this world and its broken cisterns. There will be nothing that even God himself seemingly can do to me or neglect to do for me in my ignorance and my misunderstanding his providence or will, when it all seems so unfair for me to get discouraged and give up Jesus. No, I want him. He's the best friend I have. I believe God wants us to have that kind of fixedness and determination. And our love for God is not hinged on what he gives to me or what he does for me or how he makes me feel. My love for him is simply because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross. And I, who deserve it the least, he loved me so much. He died for me. I, being yet in my sins, a hater of God, a despiser of Christ, in that condition, he died for me. And that's why I love him. Whatever comes, whatever goes, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, may God give us that kind of fixedness and steadfastness. We're not to be like a little boat tossed to and fro by every wind that blows, but we are to be held at anchor, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain of the Lord. But what does Jesus mean to you? How do you value him? Is he everything? Is he indeed that pearl of great price, and nothing could ever cause you to give him up? Or will it take just a little something happening to cause you to be offended in Jesus and to turn back to this world? If you turn back, dear friend, what would you turn back to? Where else would you go? Are you going back into this world? What does it have to offer but emptiness and dross? O Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. I will serve thee and love thee. Thou art that pearl of great price. I will never give thee up. With your grace helping me, your strength living within me, your Holy Spirit energizing me, with your help and grace, I will never give you up. Lord, you are my best friend. I think God wants us to feel that way as we face this day and tomorrow and the next. He is that friend. He is all this world to me. Are those your sentiments? Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
To hear my
thank you, Lord, for simple things that brighten every day, like sunshine in the morning and daffodils in May. Thank you, too, for friends who care when tears begin to fall. And thank you, too, for answered prayer, the greatest gift of all. Thank you for each spring bouquet and for the summer rose, for rainbows in the meadow and every stream that flows. Thank you, Lord, for simple things, which really are quite grand, for each one is a miracle wrought by the Master's hand. You know, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And I'll tell you, one of the things we need to pray for today is to be filled with Jesus. That's the best of all kinds of prayers you can pray. To be filled with Jesus. Filled with Him. As John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. Lord, increase in our hearts and lives. I want to be filled with You, God. Nothing else will do. Amen. Secret, isn't it? To be filled with Jesus, allowing the Lord to take control of our hearts and lives and affections and emotions and everything else. Well, this is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. I enjoy these 30 minutes of devotions with you. And thanks for those who take the time to drop me a note or two and let me know that you are listening and what the program does mean to you. Our mailing address, Morning Devotions, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Have a nice day, and may God's very best be yours. So thankful that the Lord leads his dear children day by day, step by step. Just put your hand in his. Let him be your shepherd and lead you, sometimes on the mountains, sometimes in the valleys. God bless you.
So rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary ones deep. God leads his dear children along. Sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children alone. And sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children. Is all